As I said earlier, we talked, when we did our survey work, we began to think that we needed to go back and ask a different set of questions in a qualitative way. So what I'm going to share with you now are some of our initial findings from our current study and the qualitative work on race discourses of trust in vaccination, the collective memories of the Tuskegee syphilis study and the polio vaccine. And it's the same research team. So I'll share a little bit about an overview of the project, our methods, then the raced narratives, which are very interesting, and then discuss them a little bit. So when we finished our data collection in 2010, we realized we had a lot more that needed to be done on looking at vaccine racial disparities, particularly between African Americans and whites. We're still to this day, all other things being equal, if you have insurance and income, there are still lower rates of adult flu vaccination among African Americans. So we proposed a study that began with as a grounded theory study with qualitative work, 12 initial interviews, 9 focus groups, 6 of those African American solely, 3 white groups, and we stratified those groups. Some were vaccine takers, some were not vaccine takers, and some were what we called mixed behavior. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. 18 belief elicitation interviews to allow us to delve more deeply. And now we are in the process of using our qualitative data to develop our instrument, and we're doing cognitive interviews. We'll be back in the field in the survey in 2015. I'm going to share with you some of the qualitative data. We used Atlas TI for coding, and we used both deductive and inductive codes to examine the data. And what we found were very interesting raced initiatives of trust in vaccine that were rooted in 2 historical events, the U.S. Public Health Service study of syphilis at Tuskegee and the development of the polio vaccine. And I say yesterday's opening session with Dr. Peter Falk accepting the award on behalf of his father for the polio vaccine was a good sort of reminder for us, and I'll talk more about that later. So collective memory, it talks about the socially constructive nature of shared bodies of knowledge that are often passed informally from family member to family member in communities, sometimes culturally. Tuskegee, you know, is everything is included in poetry and music and movies and books and TV shows. And Fleck refers to these kinds of things as events in the history of thought. And we really think that they contribute to our racialized understanding of vaccines today. So when I present this is the African Americans. We didn't ask directly about Tuskegee initially, but it came up, and not surprising to any of us. So I'm going to share a number of comments from African American participants. Can you have a discussion about vaccines and not talk about Tuskegee was the question. Tuskegee's a big thing for me. They put those experiments on those poor black people. A comment from these are all different participants. It's just history, but it's history that's passed down even though it happened many years ago. It's a story that keeps going. Tuskegee and trust. It was the CDC, and I think it was the Public Health Service that was behind the Tuskegee experiment. So, well, you burned a bunch of us once, and now you're telling me this strain of flu is really bad, and you need to get this shot. And next year you're telling me that the next strain is worse, and you need to get the next shot. It's hard to trust this particular body of doctors. Another person, I remember reading about the experiments or the treatment that was withheld from that population. So I don't trust the government, the pharmaceutical companies, or any of them. One person said, my mother would never get the flu shot. She's from Alabama, and she remembered the syphilis experiments. Another person said, As far as their chemicals or the people that work for them that are mixing these ingredients together and testing us, when I was growing up, I heard about that Tuskegee experiment. So from that, I have never taken anything except for that vaccination we had to have in order to go to school. So one of the things that's often a strategy for increasing vaccination rates is to take clinics into neighborhoods and communities where the rates are low. But here's a person who reflects some skepticism about that. So older people, the last generation, whatever, they're very skeptical from what their parents told them, from what they know, in fact, is happening. So you come in my neighborhood, you give me all these free shots and stuff. You know you would be leery. Why are you giving this to me for free? But we also detected some shift. And so in this case, this is a person who said, most of us, I'm glad to say, have loosened that mistrust. I trust people, I trust you, but I gotta verify it. So we've come a long way. So has the government. So have those who run the government. Another person said, I trust them, I'm gonna tell you why. There are too many people that work in the government that have our best interest. So please don't think the government is trying to hurt us if they say, go get your flu shot, because I don't believe they are. Another person says, this mistrust needs to be done away with. I mean, some of this stuff is just old and outdated. So she ends with, the government has become more trustworthy in some areas. And so I was willing to give the flu vaccine a shot. So again, remember, what we're seeing is, you know, the history of the legacy of Tuskegee that is still very much real, but it doesn't necessarily always govern how people behave. And we're seeing some shift. Again, now we're doing these focus groups and these interviews in 2013 and 2014. So we're now several years into the Obama administration. So temporally, that's sort of where we are. Yesterday you heard and you saw a little clip of the movie on the shot heard around the world about the polio vaccine. And when I was in Pitt at the University of Pittsburgh, we celebrated the polio vaccine's release. And I remember meeting people who grew up in Pittsburgh and who took great pride in being what they called polio pioneers. In other words, they took part in the tests of the vaccine. This is the Google, whatever they call it, banner on October 28th, which I believe was the anniversary of Dr. Salk's death. And what you're going to hear now are respondents, white respondents who participated in interviews and focus groups, only white respondents. They raised the polio vaccine. African Americans never raised the polio vaccine. So they talked about the severity. I tell you what, if you ever knew anyone with polio, it sticks in your mind. It just cripples the person. We were all exposed to the era when polio, when we had to go and have the sugar cubes for polio vaccine, and we saw people that were stricken with polio and the devastation it can bring on healthy people. And that's where I became very solidified in my views to take vaccine. Another person, I very happily stood in line in elementary or whatever, junior high school, and took the Salk vaccine for polio. I remember stopping by from church and sucking on a sugar cube to get inoculated and to get your medicine against polio. Others saw it as a huge breakthrough, one that many that the government has done. And again, repeating, this was a huge breakthrough, a big deal. And another one saying, it was a bad disease, iron lungs. I remember seeing them, the white moderator. And we had African-American moderators for those groups, white moderators for the focus groups of whites. Asked, does that influence your trust in vaccine? His response was, yeah, probably. But another person reflected on her aunt having been a nurse at a polio hospital. That is where I became familiar with vaccines and how good it can be and how horrifying to me that people don't take advantage of it. So we had another group that really raised this consistently, again, spontaneously. And for them, it formed a positive view of vaccinations. And it wasn't just people who were of the age that they remember. I remember standing in line at the health department and getting a sugar cube. But it wasn't just that. In fact, this person is a graduate student. So it was across generations, again, much like Tuskegee is across generations. So again, this person saying, it's just something that's been part of my life, and this was also a young person. So what's this mean in the context, and Dr. Ford will talk about this, you know, that we gave we looked at voice and the importance of voice and hearing from both whites and African Americans. And that social construction of knowledge of one thing that was a negative and remains a very real to people in a potential challenge, and also one that was a positive. And so our communication about vaccines now is in this place of needing to address both the collective memory, potentially, and its impact, but also the contemporary and shifting changes in how these are viewed by populations. So this was funded, I have to acknowledge, the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities, who's funding this part of the study in our survey in 2015. Thank you.